You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe. Hey, welcome to another episode of Delirious Nomads. If you've been listening to us, you know that this is all about getting to know our artist friends and what they've been doing during this never-ending pandemic, what they have on tap and in store for the next year or so. We've been featuring mostly band members. We're going to switch it up a little bit today and talk to a very, very good friend of mine who I've known for couple decades, at least, I think, Tommy London from Sirius's Hair Nation and occasionally Ozzy's Boneyard. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. And we got my partner, Matt, with us today. I don't think you guys have met before, or have you?
No, it's the first time we met. Matt and I.
Oh, cool. You're not missing much, Tommy.
I slave away at this podcast, not your fucking label. This is what I get.
Hey, we had started out with a laugh. Come on. If I really wanted to make fun of you, we talk about that shirt that I can see you're wearing. But
oh, dude. Like, did you see what I posted on Instagram today?
I did. You definitely look like a drug dealer.
I'm like dealing with the coke dealer aesthetic this summer. No shame. Wait till you see me in Vegas. I'll come up with something good for Beauty and Essex.
Fantastic. So Tommy London, we met a long time ago. He's from the Lower East Side, just as I was, although I'm in Los Angeles now. He was in one of the greatest rock bands to never, ever explode, the Dirty Pearls. Just a fucking amazing New York City rock band that, you know, had they come along in a different decade, I think everyone would know their name. But unfortunately, not the right time for rock and roll. But man, what a great band. I have so many great memories of seeing you guys. And then you've gone on to do great things with a solo career, really great records. You've performed with Lady Gaga. And now most recently, you've become a full-time DJ, VJ, what radio personality? What are you?
DJ, host, radio personality. Yeah, on SiriusXM.
For SiriusXM. So which has got to be a dream come true.
It is, man. I mean, it's funny. When I was a kid, it's really ironic. When I was a kid, I used to tape songs off the radio. But here's how stupid I was. I would have the stereo with the radio station playing. And I'd have my boombox, and I would take the boombox with the cassette and tape what was on the radio. When all I really had to do was within the boombox, I could hit record, and it would just tape. But I didn't know that. But I would love to talk over it, like I was the DJ. Coming up next, here it is, the latest song from Kiss, "Lick It Up," and then it would start, and I'd make these little tapes for myself, never assuming or even thinking about going down this path in life. And it was like a happy accident that happened to me about 2 years ago. And I really feel like it's my calling. I look forward to it every day. And I get to play all the music and talk about the bands that I love and have this useless knowledge. Well, at least I always thought it was useless knowledge until now. You know?
Right. you definitely are knowledgeable in all things, 80s hair metal and rock. I love, take us through, because at first you were just kind of filling in you'd pop up once in a while. So in the house, and especially during the pandemic, I mean, I'm back at work now. So I'm out of the house more, but you know, we always have the surround sound on in every single room of this huge house. And it's almost always hair metal, right? I would hear you pop up every now and then. And it was obviously very cool. I think I even texted you the first time I heard you, like, holy shit, what the fuck? But now it's full time. So kind of take us through, you know, how did it even get started? And then how did it grow to where it is now?
Well, it's really funny, man. A friend of mine knew Scott Greenstein, who's the president of SiriusXM. And my friend overheard me talking about music and whatnot. He said, you know so much about all these bands. I go, yeah, it's useless. Like I just said to you, it's useless knowledge. I'm a big hit at the bar up the street for trivia night. He says, actually, I think you'd be great at a Sirius XM. And I said, wow, would love that job. He says, I'm friends with the president. I'll get you an interview. I said, okay. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anything would come about. And he sends me a text with Scott on the text, which to me was like a little informal. You know what I mean? I thought it would be an email kind of thing, but they were close friends. It'd be like, cause I've known you for so long that we're so close to friends that I could text someone else and be like, hey, Chris, this is the guy I was telling you about. And it's just taken on that level, which is the same way he had with Scott from SiriusXM. So he said, hey, I'm not looking for any DJs, but I would love to meet you. I said, okay. So I'm not getting this job. So I kind of went in there thinking, nah, I'm just going to meet the guy. I'll get a little tour of SiriusXM and I'll call it a day. So I think that was a good thing because I went in there thinking I wasn't getting the job. So I was a little bit more loose and relaxed instead of being tense and whatnot. So I go in there and we're sitting there talking and we really hit it off on all these bands. And the key, when I knew that him and I connected, was we were talking about Bon Jovi and he's friends with Richie Sambora. And I said, you know, I love Richie Sambora's solo records, but he made a mistake on that first album. He goes, what do you mean? I said, he released the wrong song. He goes, what song do you think he should have released? And I said, Rosie. And at the same time I said this song, Rosie, which is on the record, which is an old Bon Jovi song, by the way, that never got released and Richie redid it. Scott said at the same time. And that's when I knew, I was like, whoa, we just hit the nail on the head together at the same time. And I felt that connection. And he turned to me right there. He said, you really do know your shit. He goes, I don't have many guys like you here, believe it or not. So I'm going to get you in. And then he got me the weekends. And then they had me filling in here and filling in there. And then someone left or, you know, dropped a lot of ships. They moved on to something else. And then I fell into the pocket of getting being there every day. So, yeah.
Amazing. So where do you record? Do you record up at the studios?
Well, I was doing at the studios prior to COVID. And then after COVID hit, we've been now tracking from our homes. And now SiriusXM has reopened soft opening in, I think, last few weeks. And they're going to do the hard opening. At least they were scheduled to. I don't know if this will change in September. And they've told us, well, I shouldn't say they told us, they asked us if we want to come back, what's our plan? Because some people have moved, so they're not near a studio. So they'll probably most likely still work from home, I'm assuming. And I'm down for a little bit of both. I like having the luxury of waking up and just doing it and also having to go in the studio and see people. And I think that's important too, you know?
Yeah. It's great. I love it up there. I did an Ozzy's Boneyard takeover once, and then I did Liquid Metal with Jose at least four or five times. It was always fun going up there.
Yeah, there's great energy in there. As soon as you enter, like you just feel it. Like there's this energy at SiriusXM. You never know who you're going to run into, Howard Stern or Def Leppard. I ran into them one time. I was like, this is crazy.
I also do, there's a couple of guys that do a boxing show on Wednesday nights and Friday nights. I've been there to do that as well.
Yeah, I think I might've told you this. I ran into a famous boxer there. And unfortunately, I didn't know who he was or how famous he was. He wanted to take a picture with me. And I'm like, okay. And then he did, you know, one of these things, like, you know, when Stallone takes a picture with you, always got to put the fist up. And I didn't know who he was, man. God, I know I think I did tell you about this one time. I don't know if it's ringing any bell.
Not ringing a bell, no.
And you told me who he was. And unfortunately, now I can't remember. He was an old time boxer, really tall too. That ring any bells with you? That you might have saw someone up there. Maybe he has a show there.
If he has a show there, there's a really tall guy named Jerry Cooney.
I think that's who it was.
Yeah, he hosts the show and I know him for a long time. He's a very famous boxer from the 80s.
Yeah, I think it was him.
70s and 80s.
Yeah, he was great. He was mad cool.
I talked to you about this the other day, or texted you or something, and then I finally decided. What the hell, you know, you don't get anywhere with life. I found, you know, all the success that, you know, has come my way, thankfully, in large part because of the efforts of others around me, which is fantastic. But just, you know, you don't get things if you don't take a shot at them. And so you'll be happy to know, I actually emailed somebody last week at Sirius pitching a monthly hour of Rare Hair. Which I know.
Oh,
no,
really?
Yeah. Where I would do an hour of, you know, all these sort of underappreciated songs and or bands from the hair metal years. And I kind of laid out a two or three paragraph pitch and I haven't heard back.
Yeah.
Man. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I would love to do that. That would be so fun.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
So what's your favorite part about doing this now? I mean, other than the fact that it's a dream gig.
Well, you know, lately it's gone to a whole new level of me doing interviews, which is something I haven't done there for a while. And I talked to Paul Stanley of Kiss, Stephen Piercy from Rat, recently, which as of now hasn't aired yet, Frank Hannon of Tesla and Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, who's very outspoken. He's a fun interview, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. I follow him on Twitter. He's very outspoken on there.
Yeah, he's very outspoken. So it's always interesting to see what he's going to say. And the one thing I liked about Dee Snider compared to other artists is a lot of artists will talk about, even just in general, an interview or just on Twitter or whatnot, will always talk about themselves. And rightfully so, they're there to promote something and whatnot. But Dee Snider, he'll do that, but he'll also stand up and talk about other things in rock music. Like, he once started a petition to get AC/DC to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. Like, who the hell's doing that? Like, not even AC/DC's doing that.
Right.
So it's like you got this guy who's got this power, this voice that people will listen to. And I think it's so cool that he'll stand up for others and, you know, rock and roll. I guess he does mean it. We're not going to take it. You know, he goes in there and he's like this Rocky Balboa for hair metal and whatnot.
It's funny. He's doing this project with a friend of mine. It's called Rock Me Amadeus. It's like this rock opera thing. And he performed with that about a month ago, I want to say, or 6 weeks ago in New York. I wasn't able to go, but Natalie was able to go. And she said it was fantastic. I think it's going to be an ongoing thing on like Off-Broadway or something, but I'm not really sure.
Doing rock songs?
Yes, they're doing rock songs. It's like an operatic take on rock music. And the show's curator is a good friend of Natalie's. Her name's Allison Cambridge. And she's trying to kind of like, people view opera as just like really stiff music, you know, and like not fun. And so she takes all these rock songs and they perform them in sort of an opera style and kind of try to make it a little bit more rock and roll. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining it. Especially, I didn't see the show.
You know who did that to me was Meatloaf. He kind of took this operatic rock approach to songs. So maybe that's what this is in that kind of vein, maybe, or?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So you're wearing a Kiss shirt and, you know, Kiss is been a huge influence on my life. This last tour that they've been on or that they're about to start up again has been just incredible. I've seen several shows and I've got, you know, I didn't know how many books there are about them or that written by them. And I went to the Tribeca Film Festival as their guest to see their biography that just came out. What a legacy they have. But they were my entry into music. As I got a little bit older, Merciful Fate was sort of my entry into the hard metal stuff that I really love today. But when I was six, my older brother had, you know, Kiss Alive 2, you know, on vinyl. And that was like my first, it was always Kiss, Cheap Trick and Blondie. Those are the three records that my brother had that I would listen to.
That's a good trifecta.
Yeah. And so, but that was, you know, 44 years ago when I was 6 years old. My God. So what was a band that grabbed you first by the throat and took you down the path of rock and roll?
Well, there was actually three different avenues for that for me. One was my father, as we were kids, all he ever played was 50s, 60s music. And Sundays were always Frank Sinatra. So I was always brought up on that music from Dion and the Belmonts to Elvis and the Beatles, of course, and the Stones. My pop would play this all the time. There was nothing else played in the house, as far as I can remember. And then on the other avenue of things, I remember, this is kind of funny, when I was in grade school, there was this janitor. He was like this older kid. I guess he was a kid at the time, whatever. And he was on the heavy metal, hard rock and stuff. And I remember commenting about Van Halen. And the next day he made me a cassette tape of Van Halen. And I only probably knew like whatever the Jump or whatever was out. And he came in and goes, here's this, man, check this out. And it was Fair Warning and Women and Children First on the cassette. And I played the shit out of this thing nonstop. And that was my first taste of the real Van Halen, except whatever I heard on the radio. And to this day, that's by far my favorite band, as you already know, my favorite band of all time. And me and Kiss is there too. I remember with Kiss, how I first discovered Kiss. My parents probably, I think they were like subscribed to that Columbia Music House Club.
Yeah,
they would get random records in the mail. And I asked my mom this the other day, did you order Kiss Destroyer or did this come by accident? And she didn't know what I was talking about. But I remember my parents having that record and my brother and I were just blown away by the cover.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yes. You know, it's like cartoony, but not. And it's like Kiss. And we put on that record. I heard Detroit Rock City and we were staring at the stereo like it was a television, you know, because it was so cinematic, that record. And my brother and I, right from that moment on, were Kiss fans. So Kiss and Van Halen, probably around the same time. I love both bands the same, but maybe I lean a little bit more towards the Van Halen side of things, because I just love Dave Lee Roth.
Yeah. I know we were supposed to go see him together.
Yeah, man, right before COVID. The pandemic hit.
And I so interestingly enough, the last concert that I saw was March 5th, 2020, and it was right before the pandemic. I actually tested positive for COVID just a few days later, but it was Kiss with David Lee Roth opening at the Staples Center here in LA. And I'll tell you what, David Lee Roth put on an amazing show, like amazing. I expected it to be fun because it's David Lee Roth. I didn't expect it to be amazing. And also I was really impressed by, you know, typically arena shows, you know, the arena's half empty for the opener, and it was not, it was full. Like full, everybody wanted to see Diamond Dave, and he did not disappoint, man. He was really great. He had a giant ear to ear grin on his face from beginning to end. You could tell he was really enjoying being on stage. You know, I don't know if there was backing tracks or whatever, but he sounded good. He was walking around sipping a whiskey the whole show. He's still doing his leg kicks, not as high as they used to be, but still doing them. And he was just great. He was just great. And then, of course, Kiss blew the roof off the place. So it was really a great show. And then that was the last show I ever saw.
Do you remember if he did any solo stuff that night, or was it all Van Halen?
Yeah, he did California Girls. He did Yankee Rose. And I might say maybe one more. And then just complete classic, you know, Van Halen set list. Probably about 14 or 15 songs total. It was great. It was great. He played for an hour. It was great. And then we were going to go see him. He had a residency at Vegas.
Right. I was going to go with you to that.
Yeah. I had a great table set up for us. But that unfortunately has been canceled forever. That's not being rescheduled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, well, it is a bummer.
You know what? I saw that Kiss put out a press release for the tour kicking back in. Here in a few weeks, and I didn't notice Dave Lee Roth's name on it. Is it safe to assume he's not on the tour? I was curious about this.
I don't know for sure, but I don't think he is. I don't think he is. Well, also his guitar player that night is now a permanent guitar player in Rat as of just like a week or two ago.
Oh, no shit. These guys all float around. They jump around from band to band all the time. But this year marks the 35th anniversary of Eat 'Em and Smile. And wow. Greg Bissonette, Billy Sheehan, all the members of the Eat 'Em and Smile band, have posted stuff online like celebrating it. And rumors were speculating that maybe they would reunite and tour.
Oh, wow.
And those are just internet rumors. Those guys didn't say anything like that. But I would love to see something like that happen. Dave Lee Roth to do that record in its entirety.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That'd
be hot.
He's been kind of quiet during the pandemic, though.
Yeah. I mean, I know with the passing of Eddie, that was a big one for me, man. That one hit me really hard. And I was actually on the air on Ozzy's Boneyard when Eddie passed, and I had to go on the air and announce it. And I was tearing up. I was crying on the air, and it was hard for me to do it because I didn't even want to talk about it, because talking about it made it more real. And then, you know, the channel played all Van Halen, rightfully so. But the one thing that made me feel, I guess, some way good about it in a way, not his passing per se, but talking about it on the radio, was that there was someone out there who felt the same way I did. And I let them know that Eddie passed on, instead of hearing it from some knucklehead on the street. Like, hey, did you hear that guy that plays in that band with Jump died? Like, I'd rather be the one to tell them, like, hey, I'm a huge Van Halen fan. And from one to the other, I want you to know this is some sad news today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. What a loss, for sure.
Yeah, man. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. Him and his son were talking about, I don't know if you heard about this, the kitchen sink tour they were working on, which would have been the original lineup of Van Halen, Dave, Michael, Alex, and Eddie, with Sammy Hagar, Wolfgang opening the show and playing a song or two with the band, and Gary Cherone popping out for a song or two. That would have been unbelievable.
Yeah, that would have been.
I don't know if Dave Lee Roth would have done it, but what a lot of people underestimate about Wolfgang Van Halen is he was the glue for Van Halen at the end there. When all those guys were getting along, he's the reason Dave Lee Roth was back with the band.
Mm-hmm. Because Dave Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar can't stand each other, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say. Sometimes I wonder if that's, well, it probably is true to a degree. And sometimes it helps get good press when you're promoting something too, you know?
Right. Speaking of degrees, tell us about this whole Nikki Sixx degree separation.
I do this bit on Hair Nation called Nikki Sixx Degrees of Separation. And I don't know, I was smoking weed one night and just randomly came up with it and thought it was funny. And I did it on the air one time, and all these people started tweeting me celebrities. And then I find ways to connect them to Nikki Sixx. Some people hit me up with like Abraham Lincoln. I'm like, come on, like that's a little like ridiculous.
I'm sure you could do Abraham Lincoln to Nikki Six.
You can?
Yeah. Okay. 1 second.
You used me twice and you got me 12.
Yes, I used Chris twice.
Chris is great. I was saying before the podcast, Chris opens every door.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Chris is on Chopped with an episode that had Martha Stewart. And Martha Stewart was on a show with Snoop Dogg called Martha and Snoop Dogg, I think it was called, something like that. And then Snoop Dogg opened for Guns N' Roses at the Bud Light Super Bowl party a year or two ago. And Guns N' Roses toured with Motley Crue in 1987. There's your Nikki 6 degrees of separation to Chris Santos.
Very well done. Very well done. Can you 6 degrees of separation to yourself?
Yes, I know Chris Santos and Chris is on top of us.
Very, very good.
I never did it with myself. I don't know if I did on the air. People be like, what an asshole.
So tell me how many, I know it always pops up here and there. I mean, you're very good friends with Lady Gaga, who I had the pleasure of hanging out with several times at the old Jerome's with you and all that, the old crew. But that was, before she completely blew up. But, during her blow up period and even till today, you've gotten a chance to perform on stage with her multiple times. So what's that like?
It's been incredible, man. She's jammed with me at a few Dirty Pearl shows back in the day. She would jump on stage.
Yeah, and I remember.
Times when I was crooning with my buddy Brian Newman at various spots in New York City, her and I would sing together with him. But one of the best moments happened right before COVID, like the fall of 2019. I went out to Vegas to see her residency there at the MGM. She was doing both pop shows as well as the jazz shows. And I had a few drinks in me. I smoked some weed. It's legal out there in Vegas. I'm having a great time. I'm sitting in the audience with her dad. I saw her before the show, said hi, wish her luck, that kind of thing. I'm out enjoying the show. I'm sitting there high, drunk, right? And she starts telling this story about the Lower East Side and stuff and her friends and that one of her friends was there tonight. And I'm like, I hope she's not talking about me because I ain't moving from these seats. And she says, yeah, my friend from SiriusXM, Tommy London, is here. Tommy, why don't you come up and sing with us? And I'm like, are you kidding me, right? I can't move. And I'm with her dad. And her dad turns to me and says, you better get up there. I said, I can't even move, right? I make my way up. It was crazy, man. I'm walking down through the crowd. I look like, when I see the footage, I look like someone who just got caught on to The Price is Right. Whatever, going down there. They helped me get on stage. And well, I got through it, but that was a lot of fun. That was a really cool moment. And I told her afterwards, I said, I'm so sorry if I screwed this all up. I was pretty drunk and high. And she's like, no, you were great, but she's probably bullshitting me anyway.
Well, but one thing you are is great on stage. You've got a great voice, and I've loved seeing your success. What's happening with the Tommy London solo career? Is that a little bit on hold because of this Sirius gig now, or what's going on?
Right before pandemic hit, I recorded a record. It's all done in the can, was good to go. And I worked, it was produced by John Fields, who produced Jimmy Eat World and Pink, and also produced, co-produced by my guitarist, Matt Hogan, who wrote all the songs with me. We went in the studio, we did this record, knocked it out. We were all set to release it May of 2020. We had all the gigs planned, LA, New York, and the surrounding area here. And then COVID came to town and just ruined everything. So I released a few singles off the album and I'll probably put the record out. I think I'm gonna wait till the new year because I'm just confused as to what is still going on. I'm afraid of booking a show and now all of a sudden they're gonna pull stuff back again. Not saying that's on, but it's kind of a mystery right now. So I think that's the case. I might drop another single, put out a video. But that's the cool thing right now, too, is I'm kind of glad I didn't put the record out yet because I feel that people's attention spans are short and it's better to put out a song and then wait till that fades away than put out another song. Because if you put out the whole record, they look at it, listen to it, throw it away, and it's time for the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. That seems to be the way things are going.
Yeah. I mean, our society has made it into that. I mean, I hate to say it. I'm a big movie person. I love going to the movies. And there are times when I'm at, before COVID, I haven't gone since. But when I was at the movies, I'll find myself looking at my fucking phone, man. And I never did that before. Why am I looking at the phone when I went there to be entertained by this big screen? You know, and it's just crazy. It's like ADD, I guess. I don't know what it is.
So does Tommy London play a Tommy London song on Hair Metal when the record comes out?
I don't think I'm allowed because that's technically all classic rock hair metal. Right. So I don't fit into the equation, but
that's true.
We do have, when we talk, music beds behind us. And I'm probably going to start putting my music as the music bed behind me. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Very cool.
A little way to get it on there without really being on there. So,
right. Matt, what do you got? Have you figured out 6 degrees from Abe Lincoln yet or what?
I'm actually getting really close because I realized his great-grandson, Robert Todd Lincoln Beckwith, was part of the 1964 World Fair with Paul Lavelle, who was like a really big, like probably the biggest conductor of like his era. And so there's a lot of interesting connections there. So I'm currently on a Wikipedia binge trying to figure out like a connection between Motley Crue and like Radio City Music Hall, where he was a conductor. So it's possible. I just need a little more time Googling. I guarantee you it's there because I've only used 2 connections so far. And I'm already at Radio City Music Hall. So like, right. It's relatively easy at this point to go from Radio City Music Hall 1960 to Motley Crue. Like, that's doable.
That hey, you could get there. You are on to something.
No, but like, you know what I'm saying, right? Because it's like, I think the whole goal is to get into the same universe as someone. But my, you know, unique breed of Asperger's aside, what is your favorite Kiss record? You're wearing a Creatures of the Night shirt, which my friend Kyle Thomas from Trouble and Exhorter, he loves. I went on tour with him once and I listened to that record like 4 times in 2 days.
That's a Vinnie Vincent record, right?
It is a Vinnie Vincent record. What is your favorite Kiss record and why?
Well, I'll go with makeup and non-makeup. Makeup, it's tough. It's really, I'm torn between Destroyer and Love Gun, only because Destroyer was the first record I discovered them on, and then Love Gun was the one I discovered on my own. I'll lean towards Love Gun. I love that record from beginning to end. And with the non-makeup, I got to go Revenge. I think that's a fantastic album, which was produced by Bob Ezrin, who also produced Destroyer. So it'd be kind of funny if I did choose both those records and coincidentally the same producer. I felt that he got the best out of Kiss anyway.
Destroyer is a weird pick, but okay. I mean, it's a good album. It just surprises me.
It's unbelievable the condition that these guys are still in to be able to play 90 minutes nonstop. And they're blowing up so much shit these days. It's not even funny. But just, you know, just running around. It's just, it's really, really, really crazy. They can still do it like at a very high level. And it's just super entertaining. And I'm going to see them as many times as I can on this tour. I'm going to try and go see them in Washington State at this place called The Gorge, which is this ridiculously beautiful venue with like mountains and lakes behind the stage. And then I'm going to go see them as their guest, which I keep pinching myself about this, but they've invited me to go to them with them to see them at the Colosseum in Verona, Italy on July
That's
11th.
Of incredible, next year. Man.
Holy That's shit. Yeah. That's awesome.
Get to get on the Kiss jet and fly with them, which is just ridiculous.
Even if you just came back home. Like,
that's like, yeah, I want to be allowed on the Kiss jet. What the fuck?
There's literally no bucket list item that will top that ever.
Yeah, no, that's the coolest thing.
Yeah, I'm looking very much forward to that. Matt, you haven't said a whole lot for Tommy. So Matt is my my partner in crime. He kind of runs the day to day of my my record label, Blacklight Media. But he's really and I say this with love, and I'm not even trying to be funny. He's like a super dork about like really, really like death metal and black metal, and we don't talk about hair metal a lot.
But I know a lot about hair metal, which is weird because you and I like bro down super hard over Vixen.
Yes. Vixen and Vane, that record you liked.
Yeah.
Vixen's biggest hit, Edge of a Broken Heart.
Classic. Mm-hmm.
Written by Richard Marx.
Oh, right.
Whoa. Oh, there we go. Yeah. 6 degrees right. Of Richard Marx in the house.
Richard Marx. Actually, it was written by Richard Marx and Fee Waybill of the Tubes.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
That's pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah, I just met him over the weekend. Very nice. Very nice gentleman. Are you reading the book, Nothing But a Good Time?
Yeah, you know, I started reading it. I have to finish. It's a fantastic book.
So good. It's so good. Fascinating. I'm a huge Dokken fan. And they're like the band from that era that didn't quite get to where I would love to see them go. I just spent an obscene amount of money to get a balcony table to see them with George Lynch at the Whiskey A Go-Go in December. I'm super excited.
Is it the original lineup or just George and Don are the original?
George, Don, and Jeff Pilson, but a different drummer, not Mick Brown.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to do it. So technically, it's the Dokken reunion, right? I guess.
Yeah. And Alex, you know, Alex from Pink's?
Yeah.
Him and I constantly geek out about Dokken. And so he's actually coming out and I've got tickets for him and I. He's going to spend a weekend with me and we're going to go to the show. It's going to be fun.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, Dokken's great.
Oh, fuck, they're so good. So good. Matt, sorry, did I interrupt you?
Oh, I was going to say, I figured out the 6 degrees.
Oh my God.
Of Abraham Lincoln to Mickey Six.
Go ahead.
What is?
Okay, so here we go. So Abraham Lincoln, grandson, Robert Lincoln. Okay. Does the World Fair with Paul LaVallee, who is the conductor at Radio City Music Hall. The guy who built Radio City Music Hall is Edward Durrell Stone, who ends up doing a deal. So that's four, okay? Doing a deal with Robert Tishman in 78, who starts Tishman Spire, who then owns Radio City Music Hall through 1985, when Motley Crue did Five Nights at Radio City Music Hall. Bam, 6 degrees, Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
To Motley Crue.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I've been doing this episode.
That's impressive.
That's why he's been quiet, bro. He's like Goodwill Hunting with Mickey Six.
Yeah, but we gotta find out how Mickey Six is related. It's all connected, man. It's like
I used to tweet a lot of them early on. I haven't done it in a while, but I used to tweet all the connections I did. And the only time Mickey Six acknowledged it, he clicked like on it once when I connected Mo Howard from the Three Stooges to Mickey Six.
That's sick. See, that's sick. That's awesome.
You remember how you did it?
Yeah, I got to remember who was the guy that was in the rat video?
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle. So there's the connection. So the Three Stooges were on the Milton Berle show on NBC. Milton Berle was in Rat's video for Round and Round. And Robin Crosby, the guitarist of Rat, was once roommates with Mickey Six.
So that's only four degrees.
Yeah, I did it with less than six, baby. I love people would tweet at me going, connect John Bon Jovi. I'm like, okay. Bon Jovi played the Moscow Peace Festival with Motley Crue. We're done.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, okay.
Come on.
So what is, okay, so I want to circle back to this. So Chris, you talked about, you know, you want to do this I want to go around because you said you wanted to do this like undiscovered hair show, right?
Yeah, rare hair.
Rare hair. Okay. What, Tommy, is your favorite weirdo hair metal band? Maybe they only got a party pressing. Maybe they didn't really, something didn't happen. What is your favorite rare hair?
I would go with Pretty Boy Floyd.
Okay.
Did you ever hear that?
Of course.
Yeah, of course I remember them. Yeah. I live 10 minutes away from the Whiskey. If you go to the Whiskey's website, every band from that era that is kind of underappreciated is playing in the next 3 months. Enough is Enough, Pretty Boy Floyd.
Enough is Enough is great, dude.
All of them.
Why don't we talk about hair metal all the time, Chris? What the fuck?
We really should.
Enough is Enough, man. I mean, they're an underrated band.
Yeah, I saw them in Providence, Rhode Island when I was like 17 or something. I was like pitching that, you know, I would play things like Badlands. Remember that? Jake Ely's.
Yeah.
I would play Badlands, Black and Blue, Vane, King Cobra.
Black and Blue is a good pick.
Yeah. Deep cuts from bands like Wasp and Striper and that kind of thing. I think
does Fastway count? Like, I guess Fastway is like a cool heavy metal band, but not really a glam band.
What's the formula for who you play or what you play?
Yeah, there's a certain list of songs that, you know, an artist that we choose from and they just take it from there, really. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. I can't really say.
In other words, so it's not just the same songs week in and week out, week in and week out. Do you like, is there a system to refreshing the playlists or is it just kind of spur of the moment?
How do I put it? Let me put it to you this way. You can only work with the cards you dealt with. The artists and the albums they give us to play with, then we can choose from.
Gotcha.
They license out the stuff from the labels. I don't know how all that works and how deep they can or can't go with it, but I know that's part of it with the satellite radio. When I first started, I was told this weird rule, and I was never in radio, so I didn't know this. But apparently, and I can't believe this is still a thing, if it is still a thing, you can't say the name of the artist and the song before the song. And the reason they told me this is because back in the day, if you were taping songs off the radio, which they didn't want you to do, they want you to go buy the 45, single, whatever, CD, then you knew it was coming and you could record it.
I've heard this before, yeah.
And I found it really odd to still be a thing in today's time. You know what right. I mean? Like, we could just go online and hear it, you know? So I can't say, here's Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. And, you know, we're not supposed to do that. I mean, I guess people probably still do it. It's just weird to me that this was like a law, you know, of some sort.
How do you feel about emerging online radios like Hard Rock Hell or Gimme Radio, which actually got, you know, Ricky Rackman to like come out of wherever they put him away to come do their thing? How do you feel about sort of these internet radios sort of coming to compete with stuff like Sirius in what feels like a much more meaningful way than like an FM show that nobody really cares about?
Well, I feel that it's it's different in a way. What it reminds me of, now that SiriusXM is in everyone's car, pretty much, most, I guess we could say, that those things you're talking about were, for me back in the day when I was a kid, here was the radio and here were these pirate radio things I would find. I mean, not saying that they're pirate radio per se, but...
No, but I know what you're saying. It's underground.
Yeah, it's like an underground thing, whereas here's the mainstream product that I'm going to listen to in the car. So and that way, it's kind of cool. Ricky Rackman, man, I mean, with Headbangers Ball, that guy did so much for this music. And that was a happy accident for him. You know how he got that job, right? Axl Rose was buddies with him. Just said, hey, man, you should be the host of this show. Called MTV, and that's what happened. And this guy just fell into it. Rackman will tell the story. You can probably find it online. It's really funny and interesting how this guy was just like, yeah, here I am, and I'm hosting this show, and let's just see where it goes. And then they got that Adam Curry guy, which he was really stiff. Remember him?
Yeah, I do remember him.
It was almost like he just made himself look the part, where Rackman was the part. Like, he was on the strip.
There's like an enthusiasm to his performances that's really fun.
Yeah.
Because of how big hair metal was in the 80s and how much MTV had to do with that, what is your favorite hair metal MTV era video?
You know what I'll say? I'll say Home Sweet Home, Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah.
That one really nailed what those bands were all about. Not the song per se, maybe as much, but just the video of them playing live, girls showing their tits and all this craziness.
Vince Neil in pink.
Yeah.
God love Vince Neil in pink.
What do you think about that stadium tour? You think he's going to pull it together?
I mean, I think it's at this point one of the most highly anticipated tours of all time.
I'm rooting for him.
Oh, about Vince Neil, his voice?
Yeah, you know, it is just his physical shape. I think it could be, you know, I think everyone's rooting. Anyone who's a fan, like I am, is rooting for him to, you know, just kind of get it together for this tour a little bit more than.
Yeah. The one thing about Vince Neil I saw, and I love him too. I love Motley Crue. I love Vince Neil. I saw an interview with him years ago, and they asked him what he does to prep his vocals, and he said nothing. And what happens is, as a singer, it gets to a point in your life as you get older where you're going to have to do something. You know, he was born with this gift. He didn't work it out. Just like any muscle, you know, you got to work it out. And he just was probably singing so much that didn't matter. And now over COVID, he probably didn't sing at all. And then he jumped back on a stage thinking he was the same old Vince Neil, and he wasn't, you know. And as for the weight stuff you're talking about, well, that's just a whole different thing if he wants to get more in shape. But, you know, and his voice, and I'm hoping that he'll be ready to go for the stadium tour. You know, with these guys usually too, is when they feel they're out of shape in any way, shape or form, no pun intended, they usually start a reality show. I was surprised he wasn't going to do a reality show showing him prepping for the stadium tour.
Right.
That's such a fucking brilliant idea.
And what great, like, build up to the stadium tour. Here's Vince Neil getting back in the ring looking like a sexy motherfucker. But the other thing I was curious about the stadium tour, let me get your take on this, was they pulled the plug on the stadium tour about 3 weeks prior to Guns N' Roses announcing a stadium tour, baseball games going to full capacity and everything else. So did they pull the plug too soon on the stadium tour?
I don't know. I mean, I can tell you, you know, as you know, the company that I'm fortunate enough to be a partner in, we have now over 60 venues worldwide, and a lot of them are nightclubs. And we are really, you know, we were a little bit worried that things are going back in the wrong direction and that we might have to roll back again and we might see closures again. I mean, this is not over, you know. We're recording this on August 4th or 5th. It'll air probably in a week or two or three. But, you know, as of August 5th of 2021, we are still like freaked out, like that this is under control.
Yeah, they're saying it could come back this fall. I really hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
Now they're getting, I think they're doing the same in LA. In New York, you got to have the vax to get into clubs and restaurants. And
yeah, I know. Starting September 13th, right?
In New York, I think it just started this week.
Yeah, I think it's like already starting to roll out.
I'm up to three people I know that are fully vaccinated that tested positive, and one of the three got really sick again. You know, it's crazy.
Tyler from Capra also got pretty sick.
Knock on wood, man. I've been very fortunate. And every morning I take immune pills for my immune system. I highly recommend that. 1,000 milligrams. Some days I take two. I probably shouldn't do that. My pee's like green.
Thank you for sharing.
In case you're curious.
As we roll to the end here, because we like to keep these brief so that we can have you on again in the future and have other stuff to talk about. We have a segment. We officially have a segment now. It's called Guilty Pleasures. And It's funny. I just did this whole thing with my wife's family was visiting, and I at a dinner, we did it with the family, which was really kind of fun. But anyway, Monty Pittman, who is the guitar player for Ministry and has played, has been Madonna's guitar player for 20 years. Is a very good friend of mine. We had him on the show, but he actually has a song called Guilty Pleasures, and he shot the music video for it at a Beauty in Essex location. So it came up in the podcast. And I said, well, what is your guilty pleasure? What is a guilty pleasure that you know you're willing to share? And he said, cat wrestling. And I was like, what? And he said he spends all his downtime. He's like, you know, when you see people just doodling on their phones, doing whatever, he's like, what I'm doing is I'm going to Instagram and I'm hitting hashtag cat wrestling. And I'm watching house cats like roll around all over the house together. And I thought that was the most bizarre thing.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
You're probably, but it was so out of left field that we've decided to make it a segment and ask all of our guests as the last question, what is a guilty pleasure that you can share to a PG-13 audience?
Well, I don't have anything that crazy, but and I'm definitely not into cat wrestling, though I've never seen it. So perhaps I should tune in and maybe I'll be turned on to it. I'm infatuated with things from my youth, toys and whatnot. And if I could turn this around, I have a collection of Evel Knievel stuff. I love Ben Cooper. Are you familiar with Ben Cooper? Ben Cooper made all those costumes when you were a kid with the mask and the.
Oh, yeah.
I love all those. I have Spider-Man, Fonzie, Evel Knievel. I collect those. I'm trying to find the Kiss ones. They're hard and very expensive and fun.
Yeah.
I also have a bunch of old action figures. If you see over here, I have the Kiss dolls up in the corner.
Yeah.
I got movie posters. I got the original John Travolta doll. Like, I got weird, crazy shit like that. That just reminds me of my youth, and I love having it around. It just makes me feel young. I love all that stuff. And I'll go out to different flea markets and stuff looking for old metal lunch boxes. That's another thing I collect, metal lunch boxes.
I can relate. I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, man.
Jason. Friday the 13th, yes. I will not unbox it. I will never unbox this.
I loved going to school and seeing the metal lunch boxes the other kids would have for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the Spider-Man one. Oh, look at the Hulk. So I have a few I've found, and I won't buy them on eBay unless it's something I really want. Like, I found Happy Days on eBay. But I love going to like antique stores or flea markets for the treasure hunt of it. Like, that's the thrill of finding it there and then bringing it home. So I guess that's my guilty pleasure.
All right. I like it.
No cat breath.
Matt, anything you'd like to add before we, by the way, one thing I wanted to say is I cannot believe, so the Dirty Pearls, the fantastic, amazing band that you were in, what a great band that was, by the way. I miss Marty.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while. We talk from time to time.
You had me, I was in one of your music videos.
Yes. Oh, that was great. Who's coming back to who? You know what, man, the Dirty Pearls, like every time we got Fourth and Inches from the Move, it was something else. And then I just felt the band ran its course. Certain guys had left and it was like the writing was on the wall and the guys in the band were doing other things in other bands. And I was like, well, why am I giving 110% here when they're not? So I decided to go solo, never really closing the book on the band, but I guess it has been closed. I wouldn't mind doing one more official show to say that we finally, you know, reunion and close it up. But then I went solo and the same thing kind of happened there. I did this record and met with Republic Records. It was Republic Records. They had just started a rock division. They loved my album. Okay. Met with them. They're down, ready to roll, ready to sign. Waited until after the holidays to make it all go down. And then the president of Republic got popped for sexual harassment charges and he got canned. The whole label got canned. And then I'm lucky they didn't sign me. Now, look, I think they should have fired the guy. But it's just my luck that I'm finally in and then something happens, no matter what it should be. It's just like Murphy's Law. But then I landed this gig, so I'm definitely not complaining. So it's cool. And I did this record, and I want to try to license the music. I feel that that's more of an angle.
I mean, look, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but, you know, all your stuff has always been solid. I haven't heard the new record, but I know the show that you put on, you're just electric to watch. You know, now I'm sure your visibility and people knowing, you know, you have, you know, who the fuck is Tommy London? I mean, a lot of people are starting to find out because of this serious gig. So you might actually, your best days, you know, on the music front might be just ahead of you, you know, now that you've got a little more variety.
I've seen a lot more plays and people looking at the videos and stuff like that, that maybe now's the time. Lucky I held the record back and maybe, you know, put it out in a certain way now.
Well, Dirty Pearls played my 40th birthday party, which was 10 years ago.
Yes, I remember. That was a blast.
Maybe they can play my 60th for your reunion gig.
Yes, we'll reunite just for your just for your 60th birthday, dude.
We'll cut this short because I want to have you on again. Tell the powers that be that I want to do Rare Hair once a month.
Yes, I'll pass it on, dude. That would be awesome.
Thanks so much for being on. And for our listeners, I hope that you enjoyed the show. Thank you for supporting Delirious Nomads. We are loving doing this, and we hope that you're loving listening to it as much as we love doing it. Tune in next week for another amazing episode. I'm not sure who we got next week yet. It's a surprise, but I'm sure it'll be fun. Tommy, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Matt Bacon, thank you for always bringing. I know that you guys listening out there can't see it, but Matt, thank you for again bringing the flavor with your shirt choice. Really appreciate it.
I'm like living my like weird uncle life.
Great job with the 6 degrees of separation. That's very impressive, actually.
Yes, very impressive.
Well done. Well done. All right, we're out of here. Thank you guys. See you next week.
All right, so that was awesome. Thank you everyone out there for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more, and above all, keep it heavy.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA Podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.